Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Beautiful Monday, isn't it? Young man came up to me last week and said, cannibalism, the gay cannibal story, picks a guy up, has sex with him, and then kills him, ties him up and kills him and eats him. How about the cannibals of Wall Street stealing everybody's money and getting away with it? How about the fact that the corrupt politicians permit hordes of illegal aliens to vote in our elections, and when states try to uphold the sanctity of the voting booth, Eric Holder, our Department of Justice, the chief cop in America, says he's on the side of the illegal alien. They should have the right to vote. You start to add it all up. You ask yourself, you see corruption, you see cannibalism, you see the cannibals of Wall Street getting away with virtual murder. You ask yourself, as people are asking me, Michael Savage, Michael, they say, do you think that these are signs? Do you think that America is finished? Then I wake up today and I said it got worse. MTV, the most disgusting channel ever created, a channel that has perverted the minds of millions of children to the point where I would throw a television out of a window if I had a young child today. I would become like the religious do in this country. Religious Jews, religious Muslims do not have televisions in their house. You know why? Because they don't want their children's minds polluted by the vermin of Hollywood. They don't want the sewer pipe of Hollywood pumped into their homes. And I see the next level of insanity and depravity. MTV has put out a calling card, casting call information, asking young girls to come on their show to be filmed as they give up their virginity. The degeneracy, the depravity is beyond comprehension. I'm going to read you the casting call from the filth at MTV. They canceled this show for right now, the vermin at MTV. But they tried to get a show on the air to get young girls who were willing to give up their virginity to come on the air for MTV. Now, there's another story that I want to tie into this, the depravity, the cannibalism on the Savage Nation, and that's the death of a businesswoman here in San Francisco who the verminous left-wing newspaper, the San Francisco Chronicle, which of course is just a mouthpiece for Obama, Pelosi, Boxer, and Feinstein, the entire left-wing cabal, uses this newspaper to justify their crimes against society. And listen to the headline, Marion Sandler, a path-breaking businesswoman who with her husband Herb Sandler turned a two-branch Oakland savings and loan into Golden West Financial Corp, died Friday at her San Francisco home. She was 81. So they're glorifying this woman as a great businesswoman. Who was this businesswoman, though? Well, she built up a bank, and she sold it in 2006 to Wachovia for $24 billion. So what does the verminous newspaper in the town say? It says the sale freed up both Sandlers to spend more time on philanthropy. That included founding the ProPublica Investigative Journalism Project, the first online news source to win a Pulitzer Prize. It is nothing but left-wing lies day and night. They gave over $9 million to the Anti-Christian Liberty Union, the ACLU. They fund every left-wing group they could get their hands on. So you say to yourself, why would people like the Sandlers, who made $24 billion selling their bank, which helped bring down Wachovia to many people who've studied this. They got out just in time after building it up on mortgages that were questionable. Why would they give tens of millions to the ACLU and other left-wing groups? You haven't figured it out yet? They do it so that these groups don't come after them. How many times have I, Michael Savage, told you that the reason guys like Soros and the Sandlers and the other billionaires who gain their money in questionable ways fund the ACLU and the other organizations is so that these rat left-wing groups don't ever look at them or come after them? So we're going to look into, I'm not a great businesswoman, and we're going to read some of the comments on the death of Marion Sandler, who the San Francisco Chronicle calls a great businesswoman. Here's what people are saying. The Sandlers created a steaming pile of garbage populated with a ton of subprime loans that helped bring down Wachovia. The Sandlers sold at the optimum moment, just as the banking industry was about to catch on fire. Next one says, the Sandlers backed their philanthropy with theft. Next reader wrote, Golden West could care less who they hurt while they fraudulently imposed on various people negative amortization loans, and they go into what they did to their parents. Another one wrote, give back your ill-gotten gains, Herb, from whom you stole. These people should be prosecuted, not revered. Finally, someone wrote, as they say, you can't take it with you, Herb Sandler. The sale to Wachovia has to be the single biggest blunder made during the entire subprime crash. Marion Sandler and Herb Sandler are like a guy selling a car when he knows the engine is on the verge of blowing up. Shame on them and shame on the idiots at Wachovia. A million bank robbers won't get as much as the Sandlers ran off with, like selling old milk, just as it is about to go sour. So to be fair to the question of who Marion and Herb Sandler are, if you are an individual who knew the Sandlers and like to comment on them, good, bad, or indifferent, let America hear who the Sandlers were. 1-800-449-8255. Here are some related stories to the depravity of MTV, who was trying to get young girls to go on the air to lose their virginity in a reality show. Shall I read you the casting call? I'll read it to you. Quote, do you want to take things to the next level? Like, are you ready to hand over your V card? Or do you have a friend who is ready to lose it, wrote MTV in a casting call. Young adulthood is a time for exploration. New relationships, fresh experiences, and sexual firsts, write the degenerate scum at MTV. Now MTV is looking to frankly capture that journey in a new series called My First. We're looking for adults who are ready to go all the way. Let MTV come along on your journey. As you try to lose your virginity, give us a call. If you're 18 years or older and are willing to candidly allow MTV to accompany you on the journey toward losing it, please send us degenerates an email. You should include your name, contact info, the city you live in, and a current photo of yourself. Then tell us why you've never done it before and why now's the time to lose it. Please be as detailed as possible. I'm quoting now what the sick degenerates at MTV put out as a casting call to young people. You want me to read more? We won't judge you at all. The more you can share, the better. For example, have you never had much luck with the opposite sex? Why haven't you gone after this before? Are you and your boy or girlfriend interested in losing it together? Why is now the right time to go for it? Are your friends all pressuring you? Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea that in my day, anyone who actually tried to get children to go on television doing this would have been arrested by the FBI? But do you know that today the FBI is MTV? Do you know that the same depravity that has invaded the MTV, do you know the same depravity that is running rampant on Wall Street, the same depravity that is running rampant wherever you turn in this country, has infested our intelligence services to the point where we have to ask what the ancient Romans asked, which is who will watch the watchers? Who will watch the watchers? Who is looking out for you? The answer is nobody. And so today's topic on the Savage Nation is a dismal one, I admit. Not a happy one, not a cheerful one, not something that you'd want to joke about. Maybe there'll be no jokes today. I don't know if there's time left for joking. The question is, here's the question. Is America finished? What signs do you see? Let's look at one of the lead stories on michaelsavage.com. New lawsuit. Facebook CEO Mr. Zuckerberg knew about overpriced IPO and dumped shares, according to the New York Post. Did I not tell you last week that he should be indicted? I was the first one in the media to say, take this goon from Harvard with his stinking undershirt act and indict him. Put him in handcuffs. Mark Zuckerberg is losing even more friends. another group of disgruntled Facebook investors has reportedly sued the social media guru, saying he made out like a bandit over the site's botched IPO. Now, what are they saying? The latest lawsuit claims Zuckerberg knew Facebook was horribly overpriced at $38 per share when trading began last month. He used that inside information to quickly unload shares in a dirty billion-dollar move, the lawsuit claimed. Facebook closed at $27 a share and was down 27% since going public this past Friday. The complaint specifically calls out Mr. Undershirt Zuckerberg and his friends and say they allegedly hid Facebook's basic business flaw, that there's not nearly enough advertising revenue to support the $38 opening price. Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, and Goldman Sachs all cited that basic problem. But the insight about that basic problem was only selectively disclosed to only some of the largest investors, according to the lawsuit. Did you hear what I just said to you? So, you take a look at this con man. You take a look at Marion Sandler and Herb Sandler, who made billions before the banks collapsed. You take a look at the politicians in the Bay Area who they own. They own them like puppets. Remember The Godfather? Remember when Corleone goes into hiding and the father says, who do we own in the newspapers? Who do we own politicians? What judges and politicians do we own? Now you understand why the Sandlers have never been called on the carpet by Pelosi, Feinstein, and Boxer. Do you understand it? It's one seamless gang. Do you understand what happened to America? The gangs took over America. They may not be wearing Nazi swastikas. They may not be wearing black armbands. They may not look like thugs. They may talk nicely and go to concerts. They may talk softly and whisper at night at the black and white ball. But gangsters they be, causing more devastation to this nation than 100 cyclones and 10 million locusts. This is the Savage Nation. Get ready for a rough ride. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, we're talking about some very heavy-duty problems going on in America right now. When you have an out-of-control degenerate network like MTV that has no self-censorship, and then you have a government that doesn't believe in censorship, and I function in a medium which depends entirely upon self-censorship, as you'll notice, I don't degenerate myself to the level of Chris Rock or any of the other speakers of 50 words of English. I don't need to use dirty words to get your attention, but those who have no brains and no soul must use filth in order to get you, the dumb public, to watch. And so first it starts with the Real Housewives of this, the Real Housewives of that. The lowest women in society bring down the entire concept of being a mother. The whole idea of the Real Housewife business has destroyed the whole concept of being an upstanding housewife, so to speak, a mother. A woman who manages a home, a homemaker. It's debased itself. Most of the Real Housewives show, they don't look like women. And now they drag their daughters into it and take their daughters to buy them brassieres in a store, not understanding what this looks like to the world, or the goofballs from Jersey Shore, the lowest filth of the entire Italian people, debased by these shows. Can't do anything about it because the filth who run these shows answer to nobody and they have no self-respect. So now they come up with a show trying to get young girls to lose their virginity on air. And even that reached such a point where there was an outcry. Now combined with that, you have the cannibalism of individuals. You haven't seen cannibalism in this society. Once in a while you had Jeffrey Dahmer. Where's the cannibalism coming from all of a sudden? Have people lost their souls altogether? The way I answered it was, when the church has been destroyed like this, and people have no moral compass, they are capable of and will permit and will commit virtually any kind of act known to mankind. So cannibalism follows. I mean, I don't have to remind you that there were years I was an anthropologist. In the field of ethnobotany, long after the last known case of cannibalism had occurred. I arrived in Fiji in 1968. The last known case of cannibalism in Fiji, which is impolite to talk about, was in the 1930s when a Christian missionary was there, and they cut the nose off a young virgin girl and threw it on the fire to give him her nose to eat. I'm telling you exactly what the missionary wrote. And so thank God for the missionaries around the world who ended cannibalism in various parts of the world and civilized these people who were committing acts of cannibalism. And now we entered another age where, of course, there's depravity and this and that. The point I'm making is that when you kill God, when you debase the church, when you cast aspersions on religious people, what you end up with is corruption at every level and cannibalism, because there's no moral compass. No north, no south, no east, no west. Is America finished? Corrupt politicians, they permit people like the Sandlers to get away with dumping Wachovia. They make billions of dollars, and who do they give the money to? Do they give the money to defend the U.S. Marines as I have? No, the Sandlers didn't give the money to the U.S. Marines. Did the Sandlers give any money to patrolmen benevolent associations who kept them safe their whole lives? Not a dime went to police. Where did the money go? It went to the degenerate perverts. $9 million to the vermin in the ACLU who have a vendetta against church, against God, against Christians. Millions of dollars to destroy and distort the already distorted media. So you ask yourself, how much more can this country take? And as a result of this attack, we get the imposter Obama foisted upon us as some savior. A savior, no less. An unknown man, an unknown senator with no background to speak of, is foisted upon the American people because they are so depraved by the media. And that's where we are today. Then we have this debt problem. China owns us, as we all know. How do we climb out of this? Obama has outspent the last three or four presidents put together, and nobody can stop the Mad King Ludwig. Obama is the Mad King Ludwig of our time. Debasing the currency. You think your dollar is worth a dollar? It's worth about 40% less than when he took power.
Savage.
So, you know, look, it's a heavy topic. Maybe it's depressing today. You've got depravity wherever you turn. Here you got Zuckerberg now being sued for being an insider who made out like a bandit over the site's botched IPO, a new class action lawsuit claiming that Zuckerberg knew Facebook was horribly overpriced and dumped the stock before others did and gave out that information to his friends. You know that's what happened. You think I was fooled by the Undershirt Act? The clean-faced looking degenerates from Harvard, you think they impressed me? Now, you know what Facebook is now proposing to do? Developing technology that would allow children younger than 13 years old to use Facebook under so-called parental supervision. Why? Because Zuckerberg wants to tap a new pool of users under the age of 13 for more revenue so he, the vampire, can justify his activities. The fact of the matter is, children under 13 are to be protected by our society because of the predators on the internet. How in the world could this be permitted? The answer is, if he can buy off the regulator in the Obama administration, he will get what he wants. And you know and I know he will buy off some lowlife in the regulatory arena to permit Facebook to let people under 13 get onto the site. So here we are. If you have young children, let's say you have children 10 years old, 5 years old, and you're bringing them up in this sick society. It's never been sicker. Never. Have you searched your basic cable at night for a show? Have you ever looked around for a movie as I have? Have you seen what the degenerates of Hollywood have put onto the screens? And whether or not you watch it, your mind is absorbing it. One sick scene after another. Girls with girls, boys with boys, the sickest things you could imagine put out, pumped into every bedroom in America. So if it's passing through your consciousness, your children, when you are not at home, may be searching cable for something interesting. And if they can't get the propaganda about dying polar bears and the shrinking Antarctic ice pack, perhaps they're seeing the depravity that the sewer pipe of Hollywood is pumping into their bedroom. Boy, do we ever need J. Edgar Hoover. Where is J. Edgar Hoover now that we need him? Who is the FBI actually watching? Who are they protecting from whom? Who will watch the watchers? Who is protecting America from these depraved degenerates in Hollywood and these vultures on Wall Street? Who is protecting America from the bank fraudsters? Where is John Corzine? $1.some billion disappears. He doesn't know where it went, and he's not indicted. There's not even a grand jury. Why? Ask yourself why. Because we have Eric Holder in the so-called Justice Department, a Democrat. We have Barack Obama in the White House, a Democrat. We have John Corzine, a Democrat. If Corzine had been a Republican and ripped off that much money, don't you think he would have suffered the fate of John Keating? Charles Keating, rather? Or any of the others who were found for having defrauded investors? Well, I'm asking you, why not? So I come back to the main question. Where does this end? How does this bottom out? Where is the bottom? When does the bottom hit? Is America finished? How does this end? So I bring up the metaphor of King Ludwig II of Bavaria. I was once fascinated with him when I was 18 years old. In fact, I did a lot of bibliographic research on the king. He was the Mad King of Bavaria. And I wrote an article about it, which I sent to Esquire, which they didn't publish. It was quite a good little article. And I've been comparing Obama to King Ludwig since he took office, because he is bankrupting America with his profligate spending. And nobody seems to rein him in. Sacramento, Lance, thanks for calling from KSTE country. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, your comparison to Ludwig is very apt. And it concerns, in my mind, it's this Neuschwanstein castle that he built, which is this iconic castle that all the tourists go to now. I've been there, sucked in. And the truth of it is that it's a great edifice on the outside, and inside it is highly unfinished. There are only a few rooms that are complete, and it's a great shell. It's some sort of stimulus, Keynesian stimulus spending that just fell flat, and there's no actual soul to it. It's empty. It's hollow.
Well, let me tell people what this is. This Ludwig, this 18-year-old king, inherited the kingship of Bavaria. And he took all as much money as he could get from the treasury to build this castle, which was supposed to be a copy of the Palace of Versailles. Parts of it were finished, but he bankrupted the treasury to the extent that the country went bankrupt before he was finished. I compare him to Obama. Now, you could say that these highways to nowhere, these bridges to nowhere, these Solyndra, these solar companies that produce nothing, these are all examples of the palace you're talking about. Wouldn't you say that's an apt description?
Well, that's exactly it. What was achieved for the money that was spent? And it's wonderful to put up this facade, but it's just smoke and mirrors. This is the analogy.
Well, where in Bavaria is this castle? I've always meant to visit it. I never did.
It's near the Austrian border. It's in a district called Schwangau, which is why the castle is called Neuschwanstein. It's like swans and some myth about swans and Wagnerian opera and whatever. I can't remember it all. You probably...
Neuschwan, you said?
Yeah, the castle is Neuschwanstein, and it's in an area. It's Yiddish again.
What does it mean? I hope it's not a dirty word. I didn't mean this. Was it mean swan? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it means area of the swan. My German is...
Yeah, certain area of the swan. Okay. Well, this is no joke. What do you do when you have a mad president who is engaging in the spending that is clearly going to bankrupt the country to the point it will never pull out of this? What do you do with a situation like that?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll just tell you that Mr. King Ludwig II met a very...
I can't go there. I mean, I don't want to go into that because then I'll be accused of something I'm not at all suggesting. But thank you for the call. I know people who have their life savings in banks, and they're terrified that the money will be devalued. They're terrified that one day they'll wake up. You know, I remember when I was young and I went to Europe. First time I was 20, I don't know, 18. And I went to France, and I was poor, just a student. And there were NFs, new francs, and francs. I didn't know the difference, but one bill was smaller than the other. And apparently Italy had the same thing. The various sizes of the paper currency had different values. So Italian, by the way. The bigger the paper, the larger the value. It was crazy. But the new franc, old franc thing intrigued me, and I found out that France had revalued their currency 10 to 1. So that if you own a $10 bill today, they would be known as 10 old dollars. And the new Obama dollars, that would be worth $1, one new dollar, one ND. If you have a $100 bill today, it would become worth the equivalent of $10. Do you understand that? It'd be 100 new Obamas would be the 10 new Obamas would be equal to one old U.S. $100 bill. You're saying this can't happen with Timothy Geithner, who can't even pay his own mortgage? A man who is a laughingstock in the financial world is used as a delivery boy? You're telling me he couldn't let this happen? What does he know? What does he do? He doesn't draw any policy. The policy is directed by the money changers in Austria and the money changers in our own nation, like George Soros. They're the ones who'll determine whether or not you wake up one day and need a wheelbarrow of paper money to buy a loaf of bread, as happened to Germany after World War I. You say it can't happen here? Why can't it happen here? You have no you have no basis for your currency. So why can't it happen here? The only way the dollar can have value again is for this jerk in the White House to be called on the carpet by his own party, told that he can't do this anymore, and the Democrats announced the spending is over. All stimulus is over. 20% of the workforce in the federal government is being laid off. Did you see that story of people in the government who are on homework, they're working at home, who are spending tens of millions of dollars on travel, even though they were assigned to work out of their houses? Do you have any idea the corruption under the Obama administration? Have you any idea that the people who vote for him are dumb idiots who don't even understand that this man is the most corrupt president in American history? Forget the word socialist. Forget the word communist. Forget all those words. Just use the C word, corruption. Change communist for corruption. The most corrupt administration in American history. I don't think that Romney is doing a good enough job of pointing this out. He does it in drips and starts. He talks about Solyndra, a story a year old. No one even knows what it is anymore, and they backfire it on him. Instead of getting up there and speaking like a man, instead of like Weakney, Governor Weakney should get up and stop it and just say this is the most corrupt administration in American history. Here are the five reasons why. One point after the other. Unless he does that, he's not going to win. And by the way, even if he wins, do you think that Romney is going to save America? Do you have faith that the Republicans who busted us out before under Bush are going to do anything different now? I mean, let's be clear here. Suddenly the Republicans are the saviors on a white horse. The very gang that busted us out before under Bush the Bumbler are going to come back and save us again? I don't think so. And do you think Romney's going to be able to rein them in? I don't think so. Which is why most Americans have such a detestation for both parties. Which is why most Americans identify with neither party. Because they understand that the parties are in it only for their own self-gain. That the parties are not in it for America. Where is America's party? There was a hope for a while. It was called the Tea Party. With fangs and claws. And ripped the Tea Party to degenerates in Hollywood and the media. There is no longer a Tea Party presence in the United States of America. Make no mistake about it, the people still exist, and the people might or might not vote. But the idea of the Tea Parties, the real Americans, getting together again, is more or less over. And the reason is because they're afraid of the unions, they're afraid of the Congressional Black Caucus and their threats, and they're afraid of the government agents who were taking pictures of their cars' license plates every time they went to a meeting. That's the Venezuela you're living in. That's the true nation that we are facing. Is America finished? Yes. Yes or no? Can we save the country? Yes or no? Who is watching the watchers is the question. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. If you want to comment on any of this, I guess you can. I don't know what you're going to say that I haven't said already. That's the problem with talk radio, is I've given you the entire picture, and I guess we can now talk about it a bit, but I don't know that I even want to continue this anymore. It's too depressing, to be honest with you. Again, I want to go back to Marion Sandler, the ex-CEO of Golden West, who was being lauded as a path fortune on subprime loans and made billions of dollars and gave it to the far left like the ACLU. If you have something positive to say about Marion or Herb Sandler, I am open to that at 1-800-449-8255. Or if you have something negative to comment upon that hasn't been said already, certainly we can hear that as well. But you have to ask yourself, how could the Sandlers have made billions of dollars on such a scam, dumping the bank just before it went under to another bank, which then goes under, and get away with it and not be called before a congressional committee? The answer is they own the congressional committee. Don't you understand what political donations are? They're called protexia in corrupt nations. In Russia, it was well known for a long time that there was protexia. If you bought a politician through donations to his or her campaign, you were never investigated. Do you think we're any different than the Soviet Union? Yes, we are. We don't have the gulag, comma, yet, period. We don't have re-education camps run by the government yet, unless you want to consider our schools re-education camps or diversity training in the corporate world re-education camps. But make no mistake about it, we are a police state in the early stages of a police state, but everything is in place for this police state, and it's only going to take one person to throw the switch until it's all over. Think about that and get back to me, because I'll be back in a minute.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I want you to listen to this for 1 minute. That is the sound of my ukulele, which I purchased this weekend. I've decided that the world is going to you-know-where in a handbasket. And since I have no musical skills whatsoever, I needed a simple instrument to play, and so I bought a ukulele. Of course, I went on the internet. I still can't play it at all. But I'm going to take my first lesson this Thursday night. So expect to hear Michael Savage on stage sometime in the near future to give his political, his fiery political diatribes, along with, I will play the ukulele the way the Japanese play the koto, although you don't know what the koto is, I do. 1-800-449. If you're a ukulele player, please don't call me, because there's nothing to talk about. But I can tell you that, you know, I said a while ago that you can't teach old dogs new tricks, but old dogs can teach themselves new tricks. You know what I'm saying? I think you understand what I'm saying. Life begins when life begins. Who knows what tomorrow will bring. So here we are on the Savage Nation. I've told you what I think is coming. I told you that Obama's like the Mad King Ludwig of Bavaria, and that his own party must stop him before there's nothing left to be saved. And the phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. And the website has all these stories, including that about Marion Sandler, who passed away, at 1-800-449-8255. In New York City, Mark, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, again, radio history today. One of the top 10 shows in radio history. You have at least half of them. Probably more. I'm a public high school teacher, and the kids, God bless them, it's not really their fault. A lot of them, no parents in the society. They have no work ethic, so many of them, and no skills, no work ethic, and the other part of it you hear.
And, of course, there's no parents and no church, so they have no moral compass. Therefore, they're capable of doing anything. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Like I say, it's not really their fault. They're a composite.
I don't care whose fault it is. They're like animals. What do you mean whose fault it is? If they have no moral compass, who cares whose fault it is? Who's supposed to control them then? You. It falls upon you, the teacher, to put up with them.
It's impossible. And
it's impossible. I was a teacher many years ago. I saw what went on. I saw them behaving like worse than animals in a classroom.
I remember you told those stories.
I saw them beating each other up in the classroom, drinking whiskey in bottles in the seventh grade in the back, with whiskey bottles falling out of their pockets. And you know how I got control of the classroom in South Jamaica? I'll tell you exactly how. I got up in front of that class for my first class, and I said, look, I'm here to teach you guys, you people, science. Here's what I'm going to do. If you misbehave, I'm going to stop teaching and start reading the paper until you settle down. Because I can't do it while you're going crazy in the room. I'd start to teach about the atom, and they'd start doing that thing, and I'd stop. I'd say, okay, and I'd start to read the paper. And do you know who controlled them? The big girls in the class got up and started smacking the guys around. And they said, we want Mr. Savage to teach us, so shut up. And they controlled that classroom.
Yeah, you were trying to teach them science, and you hit it on the head.
But listen, Mark, if you did that today, they would indict you for some reason if you stopped teaching like a robot.
It's worse than even that, Michael. They're blaming the teachers, of course, and education in the university have destroyed education. They don't want real
That's
teachers
right.
going on.
It. That's why I say my solution is... That's my solution now to everything. Is AEGF. That's the answer to everything. You know, you pick up a simple instrument like a ukulele late in life, and then you turn on a show and watch a concert, a viola player, or anyone playing a stringed instrument, the violin. You can't comprehend how complicated those instruments really are. The genius, the years of a sacrifice by their parents and themselves to have reached the level of being a concert performer is beyond comprehension. And you think they get the accolades? No, you know who gets the accolades. I speak 50 words in English, and I make 50 mil a year. I speak 50 words in English. I make 50 mil a year. That's your society. That's your MTV. That's Time Warner. That's Comcast. That's the media barons for you. You speak 50 words of English, and you go right to the head of the class. I'll be back for more, just like this, on the Uke Nation.
Seven.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Come Tuesday, it's the Savage Nation. During the breaks, I'm simply strumming my old ukulele, getting familiar with A, C, D, and E, whatever, A, C, whatever. My four string, trying to entertain myself. And Teddy, of course. I told the man as I bought the uke, I want to learn how to play the song sufficient to entertain my poodle, since that's all that's left in the world. But actually, when you think about it, it has an arresting sound, doesn't it, for radio? And remember this. At the end of the day, you know what radio is? It's about sound. What you are listening to is, of course, a talk show. But what is a talk show? It's about sound. I'm gifted with a resonant voice of a certain depth, which is a very great gift that God gave me. And I use it to the best of my ability with as much of my education and research that I can. But I have to entertain you at the same time. Now, of course, I don't know how to entertain you with a ukulele yet, but if you give me time, In time, you will see that I'll become quite a strummer. 1-800-449-8255. Meanwhile, it entertains me and the dog. It's a nice little thing to look at, along with my toy cars of the old Volkswagen bus with the surfboards on top. I have three of them now from three different drugstores. I went and bought a ukulele. It's crazy, isn't it? Who knows? Who knows where things lead? Who knows with such a sick, depraved nation what people will escape into to get away from the depravity, where they will go to refine their innocence? Nobody knows where people will go to find their innocence in this depraved society. I'm reminded of that great painting of Adam and Eve being cast out of paradise, being cast out of Eden, where they are thrown out of Eden because Eve looked at the apple of knowledge, and they have their hands over their eyes, shielding their eyes from what they've seen as they're cast out of paradise. And so who knows where we go to refine our innocence and our paradise, whether it be a ukulele, a small dog, doing things for crippled children or wounded warriors. God only knows what people need to do in this depraved society of ours, with cynicism and corruption never at a peak like this, never. This man, Barry Obama, has divided America in a way it's not been divided since the Civil War. He has pitched man against man in a way I've never seen in my lifetime. There's always been division, but it's never been this bad. This gang in Chicago thrives on divisiveness, thrives on division, thrives on deceit. But most of all, thrives upon graft and greed, in my estimation. What more can you say about it? If I'm saying it, I'm only an unknown talk show host who nobody will refer to, who everybody listens to and makes believe I don't exist. Where is the Republican Party? Whatever happened to Mr. Pink Tie, John Boehner? Where did he go? Who compromised that guy? Where is he? Whatever happened to the guy from the Carol? Where is he? Who's that guy, that skinny Irish guy, whose name I forget already, in the Carol? Who was he? I forget it. Where are all the Republicans? Where have all the good Republicans gone? Why have they shut? Why they dummied up? Where are they? But they're letting Romney speak? He's now the standard bearer? Mr. Weakney is now the standard bearer? He's a year too late with everything. Solyndra he's up to. Now he's up to Solyndra. An old story that everyone forgot. No one even knows what it is. You take the average schmuck on a bus or a subway. If you say Solyndra, their eyes glaze over. They think you're speaking Spanish. Solyndra he brings up. So that's why I say to you, where does a man go to recapture his innocence? If you can't trust the church and you can't trust the authorities, who do you trust? Well, ultimately, you have to trust yourself. Nothing really changes. The young man who said to me, is it unraveling? He said, could what happened in South America to the currency happen in this country? Could they revalue the currency in America? Could we wake up one day to the banks being closed and Obama saying, I'm revaluing the currency where a dollar is worth 10 cents? And we're issuing new paper. We're issuing new paper, and $10 will be worth a dollar. And if you have a $100 bill, it'll be worth $10 of the new Obama currency, the new dollars. Could it happen? I said, anything is possible when you have no separation of powers. What do you mean it couldn't happen? So then he says to me, what about the cannibalism? Where is this coming from all of a sudden? Why is this happening, he asks me. I say, when the church is destroyed, as it has been, by the ACLU and the others on the left, when you have a media out of control because nobody will censor them, they're all afraid of them. They're more powerful than any government on earth. Katzenberg, Spielberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Zuckerberg are more powerful than any nation on earth. You understand what I just said to you? There's no politician who will dare stand up to them because they own the politicians through donations. So if they have no controls over them, who is going to stop them from pumping the sewage into everybody's brain? Nobody. They have no self-respect, no controls. So the sewage keeps flowing out into the homes of America, into the minds of our children. It doesn't stop. So I said, the only salvation in times like these are family and religion. I said to him, why do you think people cleave to religious rituals? I said, it's not that they believe in every ritual. It's that this has been done for centuries. It's worked for past generations. It gets people through life with a sense of order and dignity and beauty, grace, if you will. And so they can then go through their lives with some sense of dignity and order. They can't turn to the society for that order, so they turn back to religion for that order. And I said, that's the trend that I see is going to happen in this country. People are going to turn backwards into the sense of backwards in the sense not sociologically backwards, but they're going to turn backwards to the things that made them great and made the country great. They're going to go back to religion, and they're going to go back to family because there's nothing else to go back to. There's nothing else to believe in. You look at the religion, certain religions, for example. I am not a Catholic, but at night I scan the channels, and I've been stopping on a Catholic channel on one of the cable channels for one reason. I almost do it because in searching for a movie, I see such degenerate vermin and murders every minute. So I stop there to see what they're doing. And I never really studied the Catholic ritual, and I see to an outsider it looks a little crazy. Christ died, here's the wafer, it's his body, eat of the wafer, drink of the wine is the blood. Who would actually believe that? Well, nobody believes that. The man eats the wafer, he doesn't believe he's eating the body of Christ. So why do millions of people continue to do it, intelligent people, educated people? They do it because it gives them a sense of order and stability and civility. That's why they do it. Don't you understand it? You go to any religion, it's the same thing. Judaism has rituals that make no sense to somebody looking in from the outside. But people follow the rituals because their fathers followed the rituals and their grandfathers and their great, and so forth and so on. And some of the rituals make no sense to the outside. They look like total madness, wrapping their arms and their heads in a leather thong and praying to God by putting the thong upon their head with a little leather box in which is contained the commandments from God. What sense does that make? Well, it makes no sense. Objectively and logically, it makes no sense. But what it means is you're binding yourself to God by binding the laws of God to your head and to your arm. In the morning, it's supposed to keep you on the straight and narrow because we're all tempted all day long by the carnival of life. On the left side, there's the this, and on the right side, there's the that. Every imaginable temptation on earth awaits us from morning till night. So if you get up in the morning and you start with a binding to God's rules, maybe, just maybe, you won't go off the straight and narrow. None of us are perfect, and we all do. But the point is, at least you know what the path is. So people turn back to traditions for these reasons, especially in times of depravity and corruption as we are living in these times. And that's where I think America is going to go. I have no other, I can't figure it out other than that. Can't figure it out. I don't know how else they will do it. So that's why I'm taking my first ukulele lesson Thursday night. It is not because it's a religion, not because it's a tradition, not because the uke is family. No, it's because it's a fun little instrument. And the future of Michael Savage may see me in a van with a surfboard, a ukulele, and a Hawaiian shirt. And goodbye to all that. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation, the hate network. CNN is, of course, plummeting in rating, which indicates that Obama's ratings are in the toilet. I would say that the hate network, CNN, is indicative of where the Democrats are today. I mean, they are basically an outlet for the Democrat Party. And this hate network has the lowest ratings in 20 years, which tells me if the election were held today, even with the weak kneed Romney on the other side, Obama would lose by 20 points. They haven't yet lined up all the illegal aliens, you know. They haven't gotten all their ducks in a row, so to speak. They're working on it. Sacramento, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say congratulations on you picking up the ukulele to learn to play. I'm a drummer myself, and I think you're going to – it's only going to advance your career, and it's going to help you out extremely because musicians are wired differently.
Yeah, I think so, and it may take me away from the horrors of the universe.
Absolutely, and it's going to relieve a lot of stress. You're going to love it. You know, take the lessons. I have a God-given talent. I've been playing drums since I was a kid,
Wow.
I play in a band. Yeah, and I love it, you know. So I just wanted to wish you, you know, good luck in your future.
Well, here's what I want to say, Michael. You're in Sacramento. In September, sometime after Labor Day, I'm planning on giving my first live public event at the Marin Civic Center or somewhere in the Never Know What's Labla occur. Who's going to be there with me? What's going to be on the stage? You'll see. Time will tell. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let us go to the callers, if you wish. We can talk about the issue of the pale horse of the apocalypse. You want to talk, you want to really get into the biblical. The pale horse of the apocalypse, if you'd like. I mean, you're really into the Bible. You know, they believe that the pale horse of the apocalypse is coming. There's no question about it. They have believed it in a long time. I don't think that they've been wrong. It's just been a little off on timing. You know what I'm saying? Texas Lance, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I would ask you, please, to be a little more positive with your ukulele. We know, we as the American people know of the corruption. We know of the deception. And I think America is really on the verge of becoming like your parents and my parents, the greatest generation. It's going to be hard.
Lance, you live in a dream world if you believe that. I live in California, and if you take a look at the number of 14-year-old illegal alien mothers, so-called, running around with strollers with three babies in the carriage with a gangbanger husband with tattoos on his neck, they're the future of America. The illegal aliens have destroyed the country, and it was done on purpose. I don't see how you ever recover from a 14-year-old with two babies in a stroller living on welfare.
Okay, I live in Texas. I see a lot of illegal immigrants. Many of them.
Yes, and they're all knocking out babies like loaves of bread because each baby is a meal ticket. How do you fix that?
How do we fix that part of it? By going back to what you just said earlier, going back to the biblical part of it, not...
Yeah, I would understand that, but you think the politicians are going to say to them, you came here illegally and you had babies who are now anchor babies, the anchor babies are going to be deported? You think anybody in this country has the nerve to do what needs to be done to save the country? They're knocking out babies because it's a meal ticket. I mean, look, I can only say so much at a certain time, and then there's only so much I can hold back. You take a look at California. I told you, I have a pair of eyes and ears. I see and hear what goes on. I walked past the restaurant 3 weeks ago in San Francisco. I see one of the busboys come out. He talks to the truck driver. I told you what the truck driver said to him. They were speaking in Spanish. They thought that I, the gringo, didn't understand him, just I was a walking by. And a guy says to him this, he says to him that. He says, hey, you see that chair over there? Trip over it. It's your boss's chair. You can go out on workers' comp for years. And he says, thank you, amigo. What, do you think I'm deaf? You've got armies of lawyers in San Francisco, Los Angeles, every city in this country who feed off this kind of crime. And you've got a governor who doesn't stop it. Who does he crack down on? The most productive class in the state of California are his enemy. The enemies are those who create businesses, services, jobs. They're the enemy of the governor of the state of California, not those who are scamming the system with workers' comp cases. And so what hope is there for this country? Tell me what hope there is. Tell me where I'm supposed to find my hope in the political class. Where shall I look for it? I don't look for it from them. I'm not going to look to it from them. So that's the end of the story. I'll pick up the ukulele and play the Koto music. I'll play Koto music on the ukulele. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to Robert in New York on WOR. Robert, go ahead, please.
Michael, calling from the tip of the concourse and a personal friend of Louis Shuker and Dr. Hurwitz.
Oh, my God, my old school principal.
I knew Louis Shuker and the assistant principal, Dr. Hurwitz, and Ferdinand Geller, and everyone who was your teacher.
I have to tell the audience before you run on to your story, which is important. I may have to hold you over. My principal in Jamaica High School punched a kid in the nose in the assembly who mouthed off to him. He stepped off the stage and punched the kid in the nose who opened his mouth to him. Do you know that?
I know who Louis Shuker was. He was
the kind of principals we had. We were afraid of the teachers then. Now the teachers are hide from the children, and the thug parents have come in. The parents come in, and what are you doing to my child? Giving him a D. I can't believe the changeover. Shuka punched the kid right in the nose, who mouthed off to him and cursed him in front of the audience. He went down and blasted him in the nose. Do you believe that?
I know. I saw. Well, I came in a little too late, but I was friendly with all of the people who taught at Jamaica.
Hold on, Robert. Hold on. I'm going to come back to you because I want to talk more about what it took to make America great, which was tough teachers, tough guidance counselors, tough cops. Set. A lot of news out there, I mean, the news is pretty hot. Now, Eric Holder, the Department of Justice, opposes Watergate wiretap relief. Can you believe this? Why would the DOJ oppose releasing the Watergate wiretap tapes? What is he hiding? Somali pirates cashing in as raids on ships intensify. Business booming for Somalia's pirates, whose attacks on ships are becoming more frequent and violent. Instead of blowing up the town from which they come, which another president would have done four presidents ago, if we still had guts in the White House, instead of putting up with the Somali pirate garbage, they would unleash three airplanes or even one plane from an aircraft carrier in the Gulf of Tripoli. They wouldn't be in the Gulf of Tripoli. They'd have to go into the sea off Somalia. And they would just bomb the town that they all live in with their Mercedes-Benzes and their booty from piracy. Wipe them off the planet. That would be the end of piracy. Instead, we actually put up with pirates today. Weak-kneed everywhere. Obama, the great war leader. What else is in the news? Syria, I don't even want to talk about it. Another mistake about to be made. What else is in the news? Woman behind Hemingway's Belle Toll's novel dies. Who cares? I mean, what a stupid story that is. What site am I on? Oh, solar power trade war feared. This is an interesting story. Commerce Department's consideration of a 31% tariff on solar panel imports to help U.S. manufacturers compete with China could drive prices up for consumers and ultimately result in job losses. Now, that's double talk from Murdoch. The fact of the matter is we need tariffs on Chinese goods. Let's start with the solar panels. They're actually dumping them on our shore at below cost in order to drive our solar manufacturers out of business. Just as the Japanese engaged in dumping of electronics in the 1980s and drove our electronics manufacturers out of business. They killed off Zenith. They killed off all the television manufacturers, all the radio manufacturers by dumping. Had we stepped in and stopped the Japanese from doing that in the 80s, we'd still have an electronics industry, but we don't. And so I'm totally in favor of a 31% tariff on solar panel imports on Chinese goods. But look at what Murdoch, look at the headline, could drive prices up for consumers and ultimately result in job losses. What a lie. Look at the lie of Murdoch with Fox News and the Wall Street Journal tied in. They're all, by the way, against tariffs. You have to ask yourself which side they're really on, you know? Robert in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
So, Michael, so I taught in Morris High School in the deep South Bronx in the 80s. And at that time, they didn't call it Fort Apache. It was called Little House on the Prairie because there was nothing there anymore.
Yeah.
And out
but
of...
weren't the teachers... Did you teach in a regular school or a 600 school for troubled kids?
They were gone by that time, 600s. I was in the first high school ever opened in the South Bronx on Boston Road and 164.
No, but for my average listener, not to talk about your life, Robert, I'm not trying to be insulting. I knew a friend who taught in 600 schools, which are for kids who were problems. They were troublemakers, in other words. They put them all in a separate high school, right? And this friend of mine was a very tough kid. He was a fighter. He said he loves it because of the challenge of these kids, and he kept them in line by not being afraid of them, but by standing up to them. Those days are over now. What they put, where do they put the troubled kids today?
They're in the classroom with everyone else, Michael.
Oh, I see. You don't want to separate them out and make them feel bad. Their self-esteem is damaged. I get it. We had reform schools. We had schools for troublemakers. If the reform school didn't work, first they went to a 600 school. If they acted out there, they went to reform school. If that didn't work, they sent them to prison. Where do they go now? What, do they put them in a regular classroom so no one can learn? Yes. So the classrooms now have devolved to the lowest common denominator, the dumbest and the worst behavior. Those with the worst behavior and the dumbest now rule the classroom. The whole classroom stops for the idiots and the troublemaker. What do you do if you have a bright kid? Where does he go to school?
Bronx Science, science and Stuyvesant from your day is so good because they can...
Really? They don't have to fill it with idiots in order to make sure that they feel good about the diversity quotient?
No, you have to pass a test and have a special grade average.
Shocking. You better not let Mayor Bloomberg hear that, because he's liable to make certain that these schools are destroyed in his tenure. He can't have such a thing as an elite school like that where only bright kids are allowed to go. How did this get past Bloomberg's nose?
Well, I'm going to open up a can of worms for national radio. Those schools get much bigger. They get a higher budget. My brother...
Oh, my God. That you shouldn't tell anybody that. If Bloomberg hears this, he's liable to ban it. Next, Bloomberg will be banning a 32-ounce can, telling you have to buy two 16-ounce cans to drink your beer. And why doesn't he ban big bottles of beer next? You know, Bloomberg ought to ban Jeroboams of wine. That would be more along his lines. See, what he wants to do with soda is the equivalent of banning a Jeroboam of wine. He could say you can still buy a fifth of wine, but you can't buy a Jeroboam because you'll drink too much and you'll get drunker. That's what Bloomberg's actually doing. No one's put two and two together. But you see, that's putting it in terms of what something the little man could understand. That banning a large soda actually attacks the poor people in the most despicable manner. The reason they buy a 32-ounce soda is so they don't have to buy smaller amounts and pay more. Maybe they split it with somebody. Maybe they buy a 32-ounce fountain soda, Mike, in order to split it with someone at a ball game. Did that ever enter your mind? So if you want to start banning, why don't you ban a Jeroboam of wine? Because after all, if a man buys a Jeroboam, he's liable to drink the whole thing at dinner and get really drunk, right, Mike? Maybe now you could understand it. I mean, a Jeroboam of fine Bordeaux, for example. It's a costly wine, but nevertheless, it's for winos anyway. Never mind what you put on it. People are drinking for one reason, to get drunk. They're not drinking for the flavor. Sure, some may have better flavor and taste than others. I certainly know the difference. But what do you think people are drinking for? To get drunk, Mike. So therefore, if they buy a regular bottle of wine, that you permit. But what if they want to buy a double or triple or quadruple size wine? You should ban that too, because after all, they're liable to drink the whole bottle of wine. Now, you'll say, that's ridiculous. They're buying a Jeroboam for a party. Well, maybe the poor man at the ball game is buying the 32-ounce soda for the party that he has where he's eating hot dogs and peanuts and passing the soda around. Mike, did you ever think about that? Yeah, little brother is watching you. Never forget that. Little brother is watching you. Okay, let's go on to the callers on all these topics and more. The phone number you know already, the website you know already, the free newsletter you know is on michaelsavage.com, the book Trickle Down Tyranny, you know where to buy it, and you haven't. I don't know why you haven't. I mean, tens of thousands of you had, but why the rest of you are not interested anymore in what Obama's doing and what he intends to do and how to save the country, I can't fathom. I can't fathom it. The left, the liberals go out like the lemmings that they are, and if one of their liberal buddies put out a book, they all buy it. They don't read it because they all know already everything. They don't need to read anything, but you don't. You don't need to buy anything. You know everything. And again, it's not going to change my lifestyle one iota. I don't need them. Anything left, all of it's going to go to a conservative legal fund. That's my plan right now. 1-800-449. So I'm not asking you to buy the book for me. I'm asking you to buy it for America. Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. I love now that the elites are saying, oh, he's not a socialist. Oh, no, he's not a socialist. Every European who knows the most basics about politics know that he's a socialist. By everything he's done, it's socialism. We're still arguing over what is known as the most fundamental idea to a European who has any knowledge of politics. Is that Obama is a socialist by any definition. And we're still arguing, is he or is he not? He should just come out and say, I'm a socialist, and I'm proud of it. And here's why. Baltimore, Maryland. Lamar, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to let you know, I've heard you talk a lot about how you're like above the cutting edge and talk radio and have been for years, and how you don't get the proper... You know, do from people like Fox News and, you know, throughout the country or what have you.
Right.
And,
absolutely true. I'm the absolute worst villain in the history of radio and television to them.
Well, actually, Dr. Savage, you may or may not be, because the parallel I want to draw is there was a guy named a jazz artist, a pianist, the greatest in my book of all time, named Art Tatum.
And no, I remember him. I remember the name very, very well. I do. But what, he was unrecognized in his time?
Well, he was kind of blackballed or kind of pushed to the side because he was so great. In other words, just to give you a brief story, Duke Ellington, it was written in his contract, if Art Tatum was on the same ticket, Duke Ellington was not to perform.
And you mean Ellington was so threatened by Art Tatum that he had him banned from the performance?
Well, people like Art, Duke Ellington and the rest of those jazz guys, they loved Art. They called him the boss. But
yeah.
they knew that they weren't going to get a lot of recognition and a lot of shine if he's on the same ticket. So it's not so much hate or
No, I understand. It was competitive. It was competitive. It would be like Rush Limbaugh making sure no one ever knows my name.
Yeah, something like that. And matter of fact, in Art Tatum's case, there's not a lot written in history about him because he was so many years before his time. I mean, he would do things back then that people can't do right now. I mean, like Oscar Peterson and
Lamar. Are you yourself a musician, Lamar?
Say it again, sir.
Are you a musician yourself?
Yes, sir.
What do you play?
A piano.
Amazing. Lamar, you know, when I was a kid and I first fell into jazz, it was all like listening on Saturday mornings at a big old television, a Dumont, I remember to this day, with a major big speaker. I used to search the FM band and turn into a jazz station out of New Jersey. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was out of Jersey. And I heard stuff that I couldn't believe. It just shook my world up. When I first heard Nat Cannonball Adderley, for example, and he was only one of many, my whole vision of the universe changed. You know, Lamar?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yep. So who were some of the other great jazz performers at that time? Let us say the mid-50s.
Mid-50s. I'm not sure if Ahmad Jamal was. I think he was probably 1960s, but.
Ahmad Jamal came along, and he was doing amazing stuff. He was great. But he was on a xylophone, wasn't he?
Well, no, he was a pianist. I don't know if he played a xylophone or not, but Ahmad Jamal is a great pianist. He's one of the ones that he heard Art Tatum, and he wanted to play like him. And so did Oscar Peterson. If there was no Art Tatum, there was no Oscar Peterson. Nat King Cole. There was none of these guys without Art Tatum.
I see. They were all derivative from the original, let us say, genius of Art Tatum.
Right. So
what do you think of a guy like Duke Ellington? Guys, play A-Train for 1 minute while Lamar is on the line, because this is one of my favorite small pieces of a bigger piece. You got... All right, let's pause right here. So, Lamar, you as a pianist, you listen to that music. The average person who's not musical hears that. They can actually feel a train rocking as it shoots uptown in Manhattan. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's great. Great work.
It's great. I mean, you could feel that subway car moving as it's going up to Harlem, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The way his arrangements are spaced out, and is you know, and you know the low bass line is coming in at the right time to bring in the high tones, and everything is great. My only thing is it's peanuts to Art Tatum. It's great to the average listener, but Art Tatum is peanuts. That's why I'm saying like. These conservatives up here now, and these network TV stations or what have you, they're great at what they do, but they know that if they give you the due and if they say your name a lot and if they bring you in, they won't eat. I mean, so to speak, you know, they have to.
You're saying basically, if they put me on Fox News, I would overshadow the best of them, and they wouldn't look as good after that. Hold on 1 minute. Play an Art Tatum piece, Beowulf. I want to hear it. Let's see what that sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lamar, for the average listener out there, is this a particularly good piece or an average piece that we're playing?
That would probably be like an intro, but I was hoping that he would play something where he gets into the meat of his composition.
Yeah, so that was an introduction to something. Guys, do we have anything like that's really there? I'd like to hear a piece of – what would we want to be of his best pieces ever? What do we got? What would be the best thing of our Tatum?
Oh, gosh. Oh, jeez.
Well, we'll find one. But, Lamar, how long have you listened to my show out of Baltimore?
It's been, I would say, 2007.
Wow. So you would be a person that people would say, are you kidding? How come you're listening to that right winger? But what do you find in my show that's of any interest to you?
It's just the real deal, and
that's about it. That's about it. It is what it is. That's the truth. It's not right. It's not left. It is what it is. It's a man. It's a man giving you his heart and soul. Is what it is. That's what you're getting here.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And that's it. In other words, I'm playing one from the heart. It's something you can't fake. Am I right? Am I right about that? That's it. That's the whole story. In other words, it doesn't matter what my politics are. If you have a sharp ear, then you're listening to the show for the music of the man, as opposed to necessarily the words or the philosophy or even the political orientation. You're listening to the music of the soul that you don't hear anymore, because most souls are afraid to even show themselves in the media, let alone if they exist. We don't even know if they exist anymore.
Uncanny.
Hey, Lamar, I'm sending you a present, Trickle Down Tyranny. I'd love you to have it. I really would. It'd be a pleasure for me to even think of a guy like you reading it. Beautiful. Hey, guys, play Art Tatum, Tiger Rag. Let's hear that one. Then we'll go to a break. Quick. Let's go. It's the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the new old Savage Nation. Okay, that's pretty good music. That's Art Tatum. That caller was great. I don't know. We got into music for some reason, probably because I'm screwing around with the ukulele now. You know, one of these days I'll learn how to play a little basic child song. But right now I'm just entertaining myself, getting familiar with it. And we'll see where it goes. And that's the story. So let's take the caller, Chicago. Kathy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I was just calling to say I really enjoy your show. I'm a relatively new listener, just in the past year. And I just heard you talking about jazz, and it just sparked me because my father was Buddy Rich.
I can't believe it. One of the jazz greats. That's amazing. So you must have some memories. Did you go on tour with him ever?
I was on the road with him probably from the time I was 2 years old.
Oh, my God.
What a... I am now.
But, Kathy, have you ever written about this? I mean, touring with a great jazz man must have been amazing. I mean, when I say amazing, I don't think it was so great. It must have been very difficult, but I'm saying there must have been some experiences there, right?
Oh, incredible experiences. I got to meet the most amazing people and travel the world. And, you know, I was a singer. I sang with the band when I was a kid, and it was unbelievable.
Hmm. Are you still in the musical business?
Yes, actually I am. We just put the Buddy Rich Big Band out on the road again with a drummer named Greg Potter from Chicago, and we're touring now. It's incredible.
Oh, I love it.
We did the London Palladium on April 2nd, which was the 25th anniversary of Buddy's passing. And,
Kathy, that's beautiful, and I'm very honored that yet another musician is listening to this program, and I think that I have a lot of musicians who listen to the show. Again, for the reason I mentioned, it's not so much that they agree with my politics, they may or may not. I think they like the one from the heart issue, the issue that they hear a man's inner being resonating through the microphone. I think that's what it comes down to.
And
that's,
you know,
the
what?
Best. That's really what it comes down. I'm almost out of flat out of time here, but that's what it is. You know, Juende, the Spanish call it Juende. Look it up. Play with Juende and the audience will listen to you.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have to listen to some of the audio from today's show, including this from Defense Secretary Leon Panetta speaking in Vietnam.
I'm the first United States Secretary of Defense to visit Cameron Bay since the war to recognize the 17th anniversary of the normalization of relationships between the United States and Vietnam.
Now listen to President Obama blaming everyone for the economy except President Obama.
Now, one of the last times I was here was last August. We took a bus tour around the state. I needed a little Minnesota nice. Stopped for some pie in Zumbrota. Held a town hall in Cannon Falls. Amy and Al were there. I think Al ate my pie, in fact. Just like at this time last year, our economy is still facing some serious headwinds. Most prominently, most recently, we've had a crisis in Europe's economy that is having an impact worldwide, and it's starting to cast a shadow on our own as well. From the moment we first took action to prevent another depression, we knew the road to recovery would not be easy. We knew it would take time. We knew there would be ups and downs along the way.
Now listen to radical left-wing filth actress Sarah Jessica Parker and her campaign ad for President Obama. The stench from Hollywood is making me clench.
Okay, the guy who ended the war in Iraq, the guy who says you should be able to marry anyone you want, and the guy who created 4 million new jobs, that guy, President Obama, and Michelle are coming to my house for dinner on June 14th, and I want you to be there too. But you have to go to joinobama.com for your chance to win, and the contest ends tomorrow night. So go right here, right now, because we need him, and he needs us.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Stock market is a collapse. S&P down 10% since April. People are saying Facebook will disappear. GSA employees of Obama under investigation got $1.1 million in bonuses for playing the ukulele while collecting fat government payments. EPA deploys drones to spy on cattle ranches. What else is going on? Raul Castro's daughter endorses Obama. Wow, no kidding. Takes one to know one. Romney sees huge jump in favorability, takes huge edge among middle-income voters. Maybe they're reading Trickle-Down Tyranny. Maybe they finally understood that they have a communist in the office. Let's call it what it is and stop mincing words. Facebook CEO knew about overpriced IPO and dumped shares. This is on michaelsavage.com. It's from the New York Post. Zuckerberg, who's hiding in plain sight in Italy, has a new lawsuit. They say that he knew about the overpriced IPO and dumped shares making over $1 billion. Venezuela, Sean Penn's friends, has banned private gun ownership. Remnants of Hitler, huh? The ultimate aim to disarm all citizens. This is what Sean Penn wants. This is what liberals want. This is what Obama wants. Arab winter, Muslims behead an apostate in Tunisia. The crime, converting to Christianity. Thank you, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Barack Obama. This is what you brought to the Arab world. Savage of Damnation says Obama administration unmasked and trickle-down tyranny. The one book you need. Gay cannibal arrested. Palestine Authority honors bombers who murder civilians. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Let's go to the bottom. 1930s photos show Greenland glaciers melting faster than today, but nobody thought it was a result of global warming. Rare pictures of a World War II battle cruiser on michaelsavage.com. The story of a fine ship and the men who served aboard her when America was still great. Here's a big story. Billionaire dies. She made her fortune on mortgages and gave her dollars to the ACLU in the far left. Her name is Sandler, Marion Sandler. Her and her husband turned a two-branch Oakland savings and loan into Golden West Financial. Golden West Financial was dumped to Wachovia Group in 06 for $24 billion. Then, of course, Wachovia was sold off and went bankrupt. The Sandlers made a fortune on this, and they spent most of their money on far-left radical groups such as the ACLU. Now you understand how it works? Now you understand why the left funds these people? They fund them so that they don't go after them. You want to hear what some of the listeners are writing? The Sandlers created a steaming pile of garbage populated with a ton of subprime loans that helped bring down Wachovia. The Sandlers sold at the optimum moment, just as it was all about to catch on fire. What else did people write? Did they bury them yet in the San Francisco newspaper? We still have a few of them up. They're calling her a path-breaking businesswoman who, with her husband Herb, turned the two-branch Oakland savings and loan into Golden West. Wow. How do you like that? I can read more about it. There's much about the scandal and the Sandlers. The Sandler scandal. They're calling her a wonderful, wonderful, intelligent, great woman. Unbelievable. People have wrote things about her. And you'll have to hear about it on the Savage Nation. All you know is greed and the Sandlers. 1-800-449-8255. All of this and more on the Savage Nation.
Wait, hang on. Before I go, I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Play Unforgettable, would you please?
Unforgettable.
Have you noticed that Obama's starting to look differently?
That's what you are.
Have you noticed he's starting to look like a Parisian nightclub performer? The more he becomes exposed, the more people become hip to who this guy really is and isn't, the more shallow the man actually appears. He looks like, if you look at film noir movies from the 50s, and you see kind of torch singers, bar singers from the 50s in a Parisian bar. I'm reminded of that. Speaking of which, in San Francisco, my favorite city, as you well know, I'm banned in the United Kingdom. Actually heard in the city that I created in radio. I mean, I was the biggest thing in the history of radio. I'm heard from Sacramento, if you can believe this. So, I still have a huge fan base. Most of the people who listen to me still catch me there on the 650 or whatever. So I go out of the studio and I go down to the waterfront, which I happen to love. I go to the ferry terminal, which is sort of like a Pike Street market. Bakeries, with the best bread in the world. All liberals, I said to you, the best bread in the world. If it was a conservative area, you get white bread that's 2 days old and stale. Creameries, cowgirl. Creamery, I don't eat cheese, but I had Teddy with me. He was during the show, and he loves to smell the cheese, and we're walking around. And I walk up about a half a mile to my friend's place at the waterfront restaurant, Al Falchi. And I sat with him and had a few drinks. And you know what he told me? You'll never believe this. Teddy had, by the way, one of the best appetizers of all time. He had a little hamburger slider. He loved it. He says to me, Michael, he says, somebody, have you heard about this? It was launched here, a new app for cell phones that scans bar goers' faces. I said, what? He said, yeah, it's a new smartphone app called SceneTap. And what it is, it employs facial detection software through cameras that are placed strategically in bars and nightclubs to tell users the age and sexual makeup of an establishment they're thinking of visiting. Now, the problem is that the patrons being scanned by cameras don't know that they're being monitored. Some call this creepy. Some call it an invasion of privacy. But the way this works is this group have installed cameras in bars in San Francisco, Austin, Texas, Athens, Georgia, Bloomington, Indiana, Chicago, Gainesville, Florida, and Madison, Wisconsin. Mainly kind of very liberal cities where people have no sense of self-respect and no sense of privacy. And the cameras use facial detection software, which, unlike facial recognition software, only picks up on basic data about people and can't specifically identify faces. And what's the purpose? Well, this info is used to come up with a rundown of ages and sexes so the app can give users real-time updates on which night spots are full of women or men and how old or young the crowd is. What question shall I ask you? I have no idea. If you're reduced to the point that you have to look on a cell phone to see where you should go stalking women, you know, you don't even deserve... Well, whatever. Why finish the sentence? I mean, the bigger question really is, what do you think of Obama's class warfare campaign? Do you think it will get him reelected? He is pitting one class against the other. It is straight out of the Marxist playbook. I pointed it out in Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny. The man has gone... you got to hand one thing to Axelrod and Obama. You've got to give them one thing. What you see is what you get. I told you he's a Marxist. He's a Marxist. I told you he would engage in class warfare as his final trump card because he has nothing else to play. He's engaging in class warfare. But the problem for Obama is that the class warfare game has divided the Democrat Party. They have not all fallen in line with him. So the fact of the matter is, I don't know that it will get him reelected. I actually think it could actually backfire on Obama. I believe that his class warfare campaign and his race warfare campaign will not get him reelected. And it could be that Romney, you know, the middle of the road, check pants Republican, nice country club Republican, may actually win simply because Obama is so far to the left of his own leftist party called the Democrats that half the Democrat Party will defect from him and by default vote for this Mr. Nice Guy. I don't know. Things are changing. In other words, they're muddling their own election chances. Romney's doing everything he can to not get elected. But Obama is muddling the campaign so badly with his hatred and his deceit that it could wind up dividing the vote. What am I supposed to ask you to call the number now? Okay, call the number now. 1-800-449-8255. Here's a man who's worked his whole life to hate the military. Hates the military. Hates police. Hates the church. Let's go down the list of everything that the Marxists hate. You know, I can only take so much of the big lie. This is starting to be worse than Leni Riefenstahl. This is worse than the propaganda machines of totalitarian dictatorships. These are bald-faced lies. There is no progress in America. There is no progress in the American image around the world. They're laughing at us. They're spitting at us. Ask Donald Trump if the world is laughing at us or respecting us. The man is a bald-faced liar. And there's a limit to how much the people can take of this garbage. Is it any wonder I talked about the app and feeding my dog a meat slider in a bar yesterday? It's nice sitting outside. It's a beautiful city. Gorgeous city. When you get away from the social rot of San Francisco created by Nancy Pelosi... When you get away from the social rot, the anti-Catholic rot of Nancy Pelosi, I'm waiting for a cardinal to stand up to her one of these days. I'm waiting for one of the archbishops or cardinals to actually stand up to what this woman stands for and what she's done, Pelosi's values. And on a state level, you have no idea what this moonbeam has done, what Governor Brown. Here is a man, Moonbeam, who pretended to be a moderate middle-of-the-roader, hoodwinked me through a friend of mine. I gave him money years ago. It's true. And the man now becomes governor, and he goes back. He reverts to the moonbeam that everyone knew he was. Tax and spend, tax and spend. Attack those who produce. Attack the productive class. Tax and spend, tax and spend. So his new tax, his new tactic is, unless you tax those who earn money in California even more, we're going to close the schools for a month a year, another month a year. This is so sickening, Jerry. This is another scare tactic, and I don't think the people are going to fall for it, because we all read your budget. And we know that 50% of the money that you will steal from the most productive taxpayers in the state of California, 50% of it will go for the unfunded pensions that the unions have imposed upon the state of California. It will go for housing and for educating and for medicating non-citizens. And, of course, for stuffing the pensions of politicians like yourself. A lot of people don't realize that the federal government mandates that states provide certain services to non-citizens, whether they like it or not. Now, if Governor Brown really wanted to tighten the budget, he could certainly do so. He could do it by cracking down on hospital visits from non-citizens. He could cut back on education. English as a second language could be slashed, eliminated. My father came here. He didn't speak English. Nobody held him out. Oh, poor boy from Russia. Can we speak to you in your native language? Nobody would have expected that. Cut out English as a second language. So let's start with that. How many billions will that save, Jerry? This fear-mongering of Jerry Brown is identical to the hate-mongering of Barack Obama. It is no different than what we have come to expect from this party of illicit anti-American Democrats. The whole world is laughing at Barack Obama. They're not saluting Barack Obama. Now, either he lives in a bubble and he actually thinks that they're saluting him, but they are not. They're ignoring him. I'll be right back. No one cares about the app that takes your picture in the in a bar. No one cares about anything. Bill Clinton's glamorous fundraiser called Worst Party Ever by Angry Guests. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I know probably more about health and nutrition than anyone else in radio. And New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has gone way too far in putting a limit on soft drinks. Of course I'm against using sugar to that extent. But make people understand it. Don't force them what to do. Well, joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this is the Director of Health Policy Studies for the Cato Institute, Michael Cannon. Michael Cannon, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be here.
Well, why is Bloomberg doing something that parents should be doing and schools should be doing?
Well, this is exactly why the founders gave us a federal government of enumerated and therefore limited powers. It's because when you give power to people, power corrupts. They find new and exciting ways to use that power to mess with other people's lives. And this country was founded on the principle that that's not why we have government. We have government to protect us, to keep the peace, and politicians should not be able to just start meddling in other people's lives. One of the reasons that Mike Bloomberg is doing this, perhaps the biggest reason, is because the federal government and the state government and even the city of New York is already doing so much meddling in people's lives in the area of buying health care for people. Once the government is paying for your health care and your neighbor's health care and everyone else's health care, then all of a sudden, any personal habits of yours that might affect your health care consumption all of a sudden become the government's business. Whether if you're smoking, if you're drinking, if you are drinking sugary sodas, if you're not exercising enough, if you're not eating enough broccoli, all these things become the government's business. And enterprising, entrepreneurial politicians come up with clever new ways to use their power to tell you what to do, and they claim that it's all for the sake of not just the taxpayers, but for your own sake as well, as if they know what's better for you than you do. This is exactly why you don't want Obamacare, why you don't want Medicare or Medicaid, why you don't want the government paying for anyone's health care, because the government will use that as a pretense to come after your other freedoms and tell you how to live your life.
Of course we have an obesity problem in the United States, but isn't Bloomberg going too far with this ban on soda?
I would ask you to drop the we. We don't have an obesity problem. Obese people have an obesity problem. And it's up to them to solve that problem. They need support, and I hope they get the support that they need. It's not up to some collective we like the government to give them that support. And when you concede that principle, then you're giving the government all sorts of power to tell people what to drink and what to eat. You've even heard Mike Bloomberg talk about how important this initiative is to keep children from drinking too much sodas. This is not targeted at children. He's trying to regulate the behavior of adults. And so the first thing you do is you got to drop the we, recognize that that obesity is not a public health problem. It is a private health problem. It's not contagious. It's not something that's going to spread from one person to another on the subway. It's a personal problem, and individuals have to wrestle with that problem themselves and without having the government take away their freedom to make decisions for themselves.
Okay, what is a solution other than big government to solve our obesity crisis in America?
Well, one thing that would help solve this problem is if the government stopped subsidizing and reducing the price of high fructose corn syrup. On the one hand, you got Mike Bloomberg in New York who says he wants to ban 17-ounce sodas because they have so much high fructose corn syrup in them. On the other hand, you got the federal government that's so heavily subsidizing this stuff that it's in all sorts of products that we buy. If Mike Bloomberg wants to take a stand against high fructose corn syrup, he should be demanding that the federal government stop subsidizing it. And beyond that, he should just let New Yorkers make their own decisions about how much high fructose corn syrup to consume and what have you.
Why is it that Bloomberg and other Democrats think that they need to be like a big brother when all they need to do is just stay out of the way?
Well, this is an age-old problem. People who want to help their fellow man look at government and they see all that power that government has, and they think, if I could just capture that power, then I could use it for good. But the problem is Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis explained, not coincidentally, in a case involving prohibition and how prohibition led to the curtailment of civil liberties in this country. He said that freedom is most threatened by men of zeal, well-meaning, but who lack understanding. People who think that they are going to be using government's power to help people, but they actually end up hurting people because they take away so many of our freedoms that we're left worse off, not better off.
Have we ever seen anything like what Bloomberg is doing?
We've seen all sorts of ridiculous nanny state initiatives like this. Taxes on fatty foods, taxes on sodas have been proposed. I think President Obama even proposed a tax on sodas in order to help pay for Obamacare. But I'm struggling to think of a more ridiculous example of nanny statism than the ban on big sodas that Mike Bloomberg proposed. Because if you think about it, he's saying that a restaurant or a movie theater can't sell you a 17-ounce soda, but they can sell you a 24-ounce or a 32-ounce milkshake that can have many, many times more calories and more sugar than that soda would. They're saying that that restaurant could sell you a beer, which has 17 ounces or 24 ounces or whatever, but it would be illegal for them to sell you a soda of the same quantity. And remember what it means to make this illegal. They're talking about a fine of $200 per incident. Well, if you and your favorite restaurateur assert your freedom to keep buying and selling, to keep exchanging 17-ounce sodas, that means that restaurateur gets hit with a $200 fine every time that happens. And if he asserts his freedom by saying, no, that's an illegitimate fine, I'm not going to pay that, well, eventually he's going to start doing some jail time. So Mike Bloomberg is literally talking about putting people in jail for selling 17-ounce sodas. And that, combined with the fact that this is such an absurd sort of nanny state proposal, just makes this whole idea appalling.
Michael Cannon, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
It was great to talk to you, Michael. If I can, I'd just like to put in a plug for the work the Cato Institute has been doing on Obamacare and why it's important for states not to create Obamacare's health insurance exchanges. You can find out more about that at www.cato.org.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Labor Secretary Robert Reich, the failure Robert Reich, who went to teach at UC Berkeley. I don't know what he's done there to the students since he's been there, but Robert Reich probably thought that since he's been a lifetime wobbly leftist, he would already by this time have been called back by Obama to be a labor secretary or something along the lines of the triangle shirtwaist fire background that he came from. But no, he's still at Berkeley, stuck at Berkeley, and the Obamaites want nothing to do with Reich. So listen to clip 17.
Lame duck Congresses are not known historically to do very magnificent things. I mean, it's pretty clear that John Boehner and Harry Reid are drawing lines in the sand, mainly for bargaining advantage. The hope is that with regard to taxes and letting the Bush tax cuts maybe go on a little bit longer, particularly for the middle class, and that's what the president has wanted, and he stated very specifically, but also avoiding that sequestration, avoiding those major cuts.
That's why he's teaching. The reason he's teaching is he can't make a sentence. He goes in circles. You don't know what he's talking about. I would have said it in three sentences. On and on and on. That's why he's teaching. You want to hear something interesting? I told it to my assistant today. He got a kick out of it. He's a young guy. He's 23. He was complaining about a teacher of his. I said, look, when I was a high school teacher, he said, you were a high school teacher? I said, oh, yeah, many decades ago. I said, I taught in a private school in Manhattan for about a year. And these were like troubled kids. It wasn't like an elite private school for the really brilliant ones or the really rich ones. It was sort of a dumping ground for kids who were troubled, not emotionally screwed up in any way or poor. They weren't particularly rich. They were troubled. In other words, they were loud mouths. They talked out. They were smart kids, basically. So one kid, I don't know, he came up to me. They were so smart. He changed my life, this kid. He said, you know what? He said, those who can do and those who can't teach. I was stunned by it. He says, those who can do, those who can't teach. I was stung like by a bee. And of course, what he was saying was not true in the hard sciences or in the medical sciences or the physical sciences. It's true mainly in the soft fields, social sciences, you name it. Those who can do, those who can't teach. And because of it, I decided I wasn't going to teach anymore. Because I wanted to do something with my life other than, you know, basically boss students around with tests. That's Labor Secretary Robert Reich. If he could do something, he'd be doing it. He wouldn't be teaching. If he really was, really had something on the ball, he'd be running a hedge fund. He'd be working for Soros, maybe as a dresser. You know, he could have gotten a nice job probably dressing Soros in a nice bathing suit on the Miami beaches with the young girls. Probably would have made 10 times more than he does at Berkeley. Yes, sir, I'll bring you the bathing suit. No, sir, you want the hat. Would you like a cool drink? He could have done the thing like that. He probably would have been happier, too. Do you know why I don't like Robert Reich? Let me explain why. It's not solely that he's a communist, a lifetime socialist left-wing wobbly. When his wife, I remember things 20 years ago or so, Robert Reich's, you look it up. I think she was teaching at Boston University or Brandeis, one of the two. She came up for tenure. They didn't grant a tenure because she was a rotten scholar, obviously. She sued the university saying, you're denying it because I'm a woman and a minority and a this and a that. And the university had to give her tenure. That's Mr. Fairness. That's like the Prius driver who cuts you off from the right lane and thinks he's holier than thou. You get it? See, I don't forget these things. It's the things like this that I remember that make me a great talk show host. Not that you care one way or the other. It's only radio at the end of the day. It's all it is. Have you heard the Obama campaign trying to attack Mitt Romney on the steel thing? It's sickening because Romney was not even at Bain Capital when the steel company went out of business. How could you blame Romney
for a steel company going out of business when steel companies went out of business because Korea was dumping steel on the shores of America. That's why the U.S. Steel Company went out of business. GST Steel. Listen to clip 9, the short version.
Bain Capital was the majority owner. They were responsible. Mitt Romney was deeply involved in the influence that he exercised over these companies.
They made as much money off it as they could, and they closed it down. They filed for bankruptcy without any concern for the families or the communities.
It was like a vampire. It came in and sucked the life out of us.
It was like watching an old friend bleed to death.
I turn it off. In other words, what they're trying to say is that Romney's a vampire, and Romney won't do an attack ad against Obama. This is why he's going to lose. He has to run the, and then he's got to say, then run Obama covering up for right. Yeah, no, that's right. You want to bring up, that's right. That's what you got to do. Negative ads. You've got to show Michelle Obama traveling the globe for the last 3 years. One vacation after another in a series of video clips of her living like a Marie Antoinette, flying around the world, living high on the hog in Air Force One. That's what you got to show. But see, the Romney campaign isn't going to do it because he's being run by the McCain people. They want him to either lose or they don't know what they're doing. It is possible that they're not that smart. They're just campaign advisors. They may not be that clever. What's a campaign advisor? A failed advertising man. In other words, if a guy could actually do advertising, he wouldn't be a campaign advisor. He'd be running an ad agency. He'd be Don Draper, right? He'd be Don Draper if he could really, if the guy really had brains as an ad man, he'd run an ad agency under his own name, right? Instead, he works as a campaign advisor. He makes up crappy ads attacking someone for something he didn't even do. That's what they do. And they go from one side to the other. See, I know everything. That's the problem. It's wisdom. At this point, it's just wisdom. I know everything. If I'm wrong, I'm proven wrong, and I admit it. I know enough to admit when I'm wrong, but I know most everything. And it's very hard to fool me. I can see everything for what it is. It's painful to live in a country with such dumbbells. Now, was it ever any different? I don't know. I honestly don't know if it was ever any different. I do know that with the pervasiveness of the disgusting left-wing media, the propaganda's never been this bad. But then again, when I look back, when you think about it, when I was a kid, you had three channels, two, channel two, CBS, four, NBC, five, it was like some offbeat junk station from New Jersey. I think and then seven was like ABC. You had the three networks, then you had the public broadcast garbage, the do-gooders, but no one ever watched that. That was like, they did like classical music and people who wanted to like impress you would have it on when you came into their house. Those are people who like bought the Encyclopedia Britannica for their son to make you feel intimidated. But look at the propaganda. There was no choice. It was all the same. All the news was identical. They went to the same stories at the same time with the same breaks. So maybe the propaganda was just as bad. But were the people as dumb? No, they weren't, because there was less college then. There were fewer college graduates in my day. So people had more native intelligence that was not squeezed out of them by the dummies in the colleges. Now, I would say people were not quite as brainwashed. The media was just as biased. This is Walter Cronkite giving you as much Bolshevik garbage as I can every night. This is Tom Brokaw. You're listening to Dan Rather. Every one of them putting out the same drivel every night. This went on for 30 years. I remember the early show. I used to watch it every night after school, after homework, before, come home from school, play, sit at the tray, eat the food, the steak, the French fries, the cherry vanilla ice cream. I'm still living. It's astounding. Shocking. Just shocking. The diet would have killed. If you had a lab experiment, if you were Mengele and you took children and fed them the diet I was raised on, half of them would have died by the age of 13. No, it was the opposite of the starvation diet. If you have a lab animal and you want to induce atherosclerosis as quickly as possible in the lab animal, you would have fed them what I was fed. It didn't do it. It just didn't knock me out. I didn't take vitamins at the time. Who knows? Who knows what? I mean, maybe I'm stronger than I think. Who knows? You don't really know at a certain point. I mean, I've been on multivitamin, mega doses of vitamins for 40 years now. Since I started to become a student of Linus Pauling and you and Cameron. Well, it was Pauling mainly and that group. Mega doses of vitamin C, vitamin E, various secret herbal formulas, and rivers of alcohol. Absolutely rivers of alcohol. I don't mean, I never drink during the day. I have never, ever, except once, I wanted to see what it would do to me. I don't drink during the day. Ask anyone who knows me. I mean, if I'm on the air, I mean, off the air, maybe. It makes me tired. I don't want it. But I've had rivers of alcohol after shows in order to get my mind. I mean, I have to calm down. How do you think? You think this is easy to do after the show? What do you think you got to do? Yeah, I'm going to run now with a pulse and with the clock on my hand. I don't do that. I think it's very bad for a person when they're stressed to run, incidentally. I think it's the worst thing you could possibly do to yourself. You know that when you're very tired, you shouldn't run, you shouldn't push yourself? It's the opposite of what you're told. Why do you think so many men are having heart attacks in their 50s? I don't want to scare you. It's true. They think, oh, I don't feel good. I'm stressed out. I had a bad day at work. I think I'll run across the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, and there's a catastrophic, heroic heart attack. Jim Fex. Remember Jim Fex in the 70s, the runner? The very, very famous long-distance runner. Okay. Massive coronary on a road in Vermont on one summer. He was a guy who said, diet doesn't matter, vitamins don't matter, all you need is exercise. Thin, lean heart attack. Died in his 50s. Because it's a stress. The human condition, in the history of humanity, in the history of human beings, no man in his 50s was ever made to run like this unless he was being pursued by an enemy. I mean, then he ran out of the village if he didn't have a weapon to defend himself. He ran like that. But the human being is not made to run at that age. I don't mean supposed to sit in the Barca lounger with a clicker, although it's not such a bad idea. You know, moderate, everything, a little moderation in your exercise. Why must you run like a lunatic? And then look at the damage to the knees, the hips, the joints. Ask any doctor.
Savage.